The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the third chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? But Jesus answered him, Let it be so now, for it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness. Then he consented. And when Jesus had been baptized, just as he came up from the water, suddenly the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased. The Gospel of the Lord. So today, we are starting a series, a sermon series called Living in the Gray, and this will be throughout Epiphany, and Epiphany is this season right now between Christmas and Lent, and this year we get a nice long one. We get about 7 weeks of Epiphany. Don't always get that. And we're doing this because we want to address how these stories how the scriptures will hear throughout this season speak to how we live as Christians in this time and place in our history. Much of what we hear, kind of, I'm going to say it as in the world, or what shows up in the news or media outlets, or maybe even what we encounter in our workplaces or our schools or in the grocery store, has a way of defining Christianity in very black and white terms. And I'm using that as an expression. The black and white expression is from when the printing press started and things were put in black ink on white paper, and that meant that they were clear and defined and even seen as being holding truth. And these ways that we get described, I don't know if we always think that they're really that true or if they reflect how we actually desire or want to live and express our faith. Defining who we are or who we are not, as the case can sometimes be, as Christians is seldom a black and white, either or type of answer. We're a variety of people, right? Right here in this room. We're a variety of people in our city. We're a variety of people in the nation and across the globe. And so while we still search for that meaning, for the best way to live out the definitions of who we are, and we long for that knowledge of how to live our best lives, living in the gray is about the reality of what it means to continue to live into that struggle, as all generations have, but to live into God's definition of life instead of our own or any of the others that might get put upon us. So our question today, each week we'll center around a question, is why do we die to live? And this one centers around the story of Jesus' baptism. It centers around our story of baptism. The writings of Paul, where we just read that we die with Christ in baptism and rise again to new life. And these stories, actually Jesus' baptism story, is one that sometimes is a struggle. Some people struggle pretty heavily with it. Because a very black and white definition of baptism is that it is for forgiveness of sin. That original sin that we're born with as humans, that we live with, and that follows us. So if Jesus is from God and considered sinless, then why in the world would he need to be baptized? And yet, Jesus' baptism is in Mark, Matthew, and Luke. And so it was a story that had enough, an event that had enough significance to be written down by more than one person and remembered by the people. And so here is a first step into living into that gray, where we open our ears and our hearts to the telling of Jesus' baptism, not as a way to get an exact black and white answer of what exactly happened on that day, but instead as a way to understand how God is revealed, or how God shows up then and now, to ask ourselves what definitions of the world was Jesus releasing in his baptism, and what definitions of God was he trying to reveal and show us. We just celebrated Christmas, which is a new revelation of God that's kind of a big deal. God shows up as Jesus, as a human, and God takes on a new name in doing that. God with Emmanuel, God with us. And in the baptism of Jesus, as I was telling the children, another naming occurs. God names Jesus Beloved. Now, naming, it's a powerful thing. It's an important thing throughout scriptures. People's names are picked and chosen for a reason. They reveal things about them. And names change in the scripture, and that signifies that something new is being done in relationship with God. Our own names, I think of your own name. You might consider important, connecting you to some family history of the past, grounding you in the present as you live into who you are among a group and a community. And it also connects us to our future, those generations that are to follow us. And one of the most powerful naming stories that I've been a part of happened here a few years ago when one young girl was adopted into a new family. And because she was adopted, she was then able to be baptized. And she had lived in foster care for many years. She'd had a lot of ups and a lot of downs in her life. And so when it was time for her to be a new daughter and a new sister, she said she wanted a new name. And I don't know what her family's first reaction was to that, but I know when she told me that, it was like this spirit-filled moment, because I immediately thought of those times in Scripture when names changed to reveal that God is showing up. And right here, God was doing something new with her, and the Spirit was present with her. And so with the help of her family, she picked a new name. And when we baptized her here, we announced that new name. And as the waters were poured over her head and she was sealed by the Spirit, she was sealed into a new life for her. And still, that was not the only name that she received that day. And it's not even the most important name. She also received that same name that Jesus did, Beloved. Yes, baptism washes away sin. It promises ongoing forgiveness and a relationship with God. And these are central and they're vital understandings for us as we continue to do baptisms. And that is the way that we talk about, one of the ways that we talk about God showing up. But baptism provides something even more. It provides this name, Beloved, a name that's, it's not a description, it's a definition, it's an identity, child of God, one to whom God promises to remain committed to forever, sealed and marked with this love always. It's the announcement of that promise that God gives all God's children. And we live in a time where I'm going to dare to say that remembering this name, Beloved, and embracing this name, Beloved, has never been more important. There are many voices and entities and governments and companies and products that really want to name us and define us. American or foreigner, liberal or conservative, rich or poor, in or out. Even the products we buy aren't just, you know, something we use. Either you're an iPhone or an Android, right? We could probably separate in half based on that. Apple, PC, Starbucks, or I hear the new things, Dutch Brothers, or Nike or Adidas. That might be old. That might show my age, but it was there at one time. This list can go on. You can think of your own. And these things aren't, like, they're not bad in and of themselves. They're not good or bad. And they might even describe us in one way or another. But when they try to lay claim on us, they have the ability to start to push aside the Spirit of God. All these labels and brands and ways of being named and identified have the potential to suck us into believing that they are true and that they are who we are. And the thing is, that's exactly what we die to in baptism. We die to the idea that the things of the world define us. We die to the idea that baptism is just a one-time, nice, quaint ritual that we do for our grandparents. We die to the idea that we are separate from God here and now or ever. We die to the idea that God is less and we are more. And instead, as Jesus is raised to life, we are raised to a life that is first blessed as well, that there is original blessing held by the Holy Spirit and defined as beloved. Baptism matters because it helps us and tells us again and again that we are a child of God and that that is the identity that matters. The definition isn't one time. It doesn't just happen in baptism. It happens daily, all the time. And the very next verses in this Gospel of Matthew, Jesus is led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tested. But notice he's led after he's baptized, after he's named. He goes knowing exactly who he is and who he belongs to. And when we remember that we are sealed by the Holy Spirit, when we remember that we too are named beloved, then we can live into all that life brings us and all that we have to face, knowing we are God's child and that everything else that competes for attention and definition and loyalty is far less than who we really are. See, living in the gray doesn't mean not being clear on anything. We are quite clear on who we are and whose we are. Living in the gray means living into all the possibilities that God lays open for us. And this kind of definition, it's not easy. It's not something that just happens or that we just understand one day. It takes practice. Sometimes it takes physically putting water on your head and saying the words, "I am sealed by the Holy Spirit and marked at the cross of Christ forever." Sometimes it takes knowing, being aware that we're conditioned for negative thoughts and emotions about ourselves and about others, and that those are things that we zero in on a lot and start to think that they're true. And then it takes conscious practice to say what we are grateful for and that we need to do that. Also, it takes turning those negative thoughts and feelings that kind of churn and get stuck in the head and the heart, those ones, you know, you have your own, but they may say something like, "I am unlovable," or "I don't have enough," or "I'm stupid," or "I am worthless." And changing those, interrupting yourself and instead saying, "I am infinitely loved. I am beloved. I have everything I need. I have the mind of Christ. I am precious and honored in God's eyes." Living in the gray, it does take practice. It takes being awake to ourselves and being awake to the Spirit of God. But it also has within it this promise and this place where we can rest. We can rest in the awareness that you are already and forever, without any effort or achievement, or anything you will do or won't do on your own, a beloved child of God. Amen.